This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 Party Line. Of course, thanks to our friends at TC Trailers. You know how it goes. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College doing their part, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, keeping you safe on the road. Big Deals, save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. The online telecast. You could be watching right now at HoosierlandTV.com. It's just that easy. You just go to HoosierlandTV.com, bada bing, bada boom, and that's brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Shoop's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoop's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, the Community Foundation serving Howard, Clinton, and Carroll counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi, Ellis Jewelers, Marchand's Window Tinting, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfurt, Avery Home Store, Copper Electric Services LLC, and Braden Business Systems. Now, you said there was something with the weather. I saw in other places in the world there were some tornadoes, so our thoughts and prayers go out to those folks that are dealing with the aftermath of that mess yesterday.
Unfortunately, a lot of that is heading our direction. We just don't know. We're in level two right now, so we're going to hope we stay there. It's when the levels go up is when it gets worse, but we do have the possibility of showers and thunderstorms starting to move in. Anywhere from noon on, depending on who you listen to, National Weather Service is saying this afternoon is when we're going to start seeing that.
It looked like about 3.
Yeah.
It will actually get here.
Yeah, but so there's showers and stuff in front of it. We're talking, what you're talking about is the front.
Yes.
And that's what will drive the thunderstorms and the high winds and that kind of stuff. So,
I heard the word hail. We don't need that.
We don't need any of it.
Especially our farmers. Boy, folks, if you are on the roads today, please give them as much courtesy as possible because now they're really trying to get their crops in.
They've worked all weekend.
It's not late.
No.
But compared to what we're used to.
Well, and when you're looking at the forecast that where you got a chance of rain every day, it really narrows it down for them. So, and once we get to the end of May, you start getting into June and it's not that you can't grow the crops, but sometimes by the time fall comes, they don't get dried down. So your cost go up trying to get it dried so you can get it out, get it harvested.
And how about those fuel costs?
And the yields, let's don't even go there. The yields drop as well. So, you know, these guys are on a timeline.
They're on a timeline.
They are on a timeline.
Now, while we're talking about the weather today, I wanted to know if you saw this yet. I saw this all over social media yesterday. I saw the first one. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw it time and time again on different sites. The 2026 Super El Nino is projected to be the strongest in 150 years.
Imagine that.
It should be the worst El Nino since 1870, which, by the way, back then killed millions due to food shortages. Experts warn that it will threaten global food security and weather stability.
Like, we don't already have that.
Right? But do we need that, really? I mean, here we're dealing with gas prices and some other things. I was like, please, no, don't do that to us
now.
The
up and down roller coaster. Do you ever remember in your lifetime the roller coaster of weather that we've been having? Not to mention the fact it feel like we're living in the Grand Plains out in Arizona.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the flatlands. And with all the wind that we're having, it's nuts. I honestly do not remember it being like this.
No, it is very. I mean, I know it's been up and down. We talk about that. Just the joke of living in Indiana because you're going to have all four seasons in like a day or a week or whatever. But no, I'm with you. This year has been.
extreme.
Wacky, yeah.
Yeah, it's been extreme. So,
from extreme floods and stronger storms to droughts, wildfires, and record-breaking heat, El Nino has the power to disrupt weather patterns across the planet. The Pacific Ocean is heating rapidly, and scientists say the world could feel the consequences.
Every bit of that they just said we've been experiencing already for the last 3-4 years, it's just going to, now they're saying it's going to be extreme.
And now, on another note, health officials confirmed the first case of hantavirus in North America stemming from an infected cruise ship. So we have that to look forward to as well.
And Ebola.
That's what I was going to say. Then there was, is God Ebola. Telling us something? Good morning.
Come on in.
It makes me wonder if God is trying to tell us something to remind us that, hello.
I know.
Everybody get your stuff together because.
I know. It's been crazy. Just plain crazy.
It has been crazy. Absolutely.
So.
A couple of other things really quickly. Our guest has just arrived with us in studio. And so while we're getting set up there, I wanted to remind everybody that today with the Senior Olympics with our friends at Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Skip Bow begins at 10 a.m. That's at the Library Art Room. And badminton, 2 p.m. at Wesley Manor South Side. And I'm hoping they'll get that in, the badminton, but... Yeah. You know, it's all based on weather, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Everything is. Speaking of weather, the softball game that we were supposed to carry on Saturday was rained out. So we will not be making that game up just simply because we've got to prepare for sectionals on Hoosier Land. So it was unfortunate, but pretty much everything got canceled on Saturday. Even qualifications got canceled. Canceled on Saturday.
It was a bummer for sure. But then several people, boy, the track was packed on Sunday.
They said Sunday was super, super exciting because, I mean, they had to fill all 33 spots in one day instead of two.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Don't forget you have until tomorrow to enjoy the Mother's Day special at the Humane Society of Clinton County. So dogs and cats special. Again, that's the Mother's Day special. Also, today, the 19th, is the Board of Health meeting. And I think, there was a change on that. So that's what I wanted to let you know. The meeting originally scheduled for today was moved to Wednesday, May 27th, if you're inclined to attend that. So we just wanted to let you know that as well. And then also from the Paul Philippi Resource Center, coming up, they're going to Beef and Boards. It's presenting Singing in the Rain. And the cost on that is $75, but you do need to contact them if you want to go. And that's coming up on Thursday. So just wanted to let you know if you're interested in that, that you need to get registered for that as well.
That would be kind of fun. I would love to go see Singing in the Rain. That's one of my favorite movies. Really quickly, we do have a road closure. Center Point will have County Road 700 West closed from State Road 28 to Newcastle Road until tomorrow at 5 p.m. So that is 2 days worth of closure. So keep just stay out of the area, let them get their work done, and then it's done and it's over with. So we'll bring that up again in the second half. But right now our guest is here, Tim Clark. Thank you for coming in.
I'm very happy to be here this morning. Thank you.
You have a great radio voice.
Oh, yes, no. He does.
Oh my gosh, you just spoke and I did the whoosh with the head turn. Did you see that? You have a great radio voice. Have you ever done radio before?
I have not. Commercials, but...
So you have done something.
You've done something.
So what you're telling me is when I need that nice voice, hey, can we call Tim?
Yeah.
Well, just letting you know you have a good radio voice.
Thank you.
Number one... Give everybody an idea of your background, how you got to where you are, what your title is, basically what you do.
Oh,
an introduction into you.
My 30-second elevator commercial, right?
That's it.
Pretty much.
So I started my own business 30 years ago this October. Can't believe it's been 30 years, but it's been 30 great years.
I mean,
years.
I'm only 30 years old.
I'm only 36, so... You know,
hey, I love that. Yeah, you know. I'm an entrepreneur, so there we go.
Right. And we do a lot of building. We're owner's reps. Before owner's reps became the big term that everybody uses today, we help individuals, commercial, industrial, a little bit of residential, getting through the processes of understanding what they don't understand. We say it all the time. You don't know what you don't know. So you get contractors to come in and do things, and you always hear the horror stories. So our job is to be there to help the owners get through that process. Make sure they're not getting charged for things that they shouldn't be getting charged for. Make sure that when they get deducts on projects, they get dollar for dollar instead of pennies on the dollar. And then in 2011, because we do so much building stuff, we got very involved with ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, because buildings have to be compliant. Signed into law in May of 1990, and we're still working towards that direction of getting everybody compliant with their buildings, parking spots, egress to buildings, restrooms, you name it.
Yeah, and in some of these older buildings, that's quite the undertaking.
It is quite an undertaking, and you know, there's things that they don't have to do until they start doing remodeling. And once they do remodeling, then they have to bring the building up to the code, to standards,
sure.
I should say. So that's kind of our background of what we do. And then we, as a company, we have contracts throughout the state with lots of different municipalities, lots of different Title III, which are private entities, on making sure that they're going in the right direction to do the right thing. And we do have contracts with the city of Frankfort and Clinton County to help them get through those processes. And that's kind of what brought us here today. Was we've been seeing a lot of posts about the new annex building and all the things that people are saying are not correct. And that's why we want to come in today and get people to understand what exactly is going on.
Absolutely, because I understand we are doing our best and we're following the rules. Maybe everybody doesn't know all the rules and everything is to code and the way it should be.
Correct. One of the biggest things that we see and hear a lot from a business standpoint is parking spots. You know, why are the parking spots not as close proximity to the front door as possible? Well, you know, when you look at different situations, and I'm just going to use the courthouse square, you know, you've got lots of businesses around the courthouse square. What's been done is, as I'm going to say, the north side, the west side, and the south side of the courthouse are correct when it comes to parking. We don't have to have a parking spot in front of every business as long as we have the minimum number of parking spots and they're actually compliant. So what does compliant mean with a parking spot? That's one of the big questions. Is it's very difficult. Thank goodness we don't live in someplace like San Francisco.
Oh, can you imagine?
With all the hills and
no
everything.
Kidding.
So a parking spot has to be less than 2% slope, running slope, which is the direction you're driving, or cross slope, which is perpendicular, 2.08%. So when you start thinking about, you know, and you really think about how flat we are here until you start looking at 2%, and it's pretty difficult. So we end up designing the parking spots in the places where they can meet that code, and we can get people access to the sidewalk. And once they've got access to the sidewalk, then they've got access to anything around the courthouse. So that's what's been done, again, on the north, west, and south side of the courthouse. The east side, we can talk a little bit about, because
oh,
that
sure.
was all just done by the state.
Okay, right.
You know, so there have been conversations with the state because it's a state highway. I work with NDOT on a regular basis out of Crawfordsville on issues that are not compliant on projects that they've done. And there were some issues with that project, especially on the courthouse square, that they come back and had to do some renovations to because they weren't correct. So that's one of the things that, you know, that no matter how hard you try, now what we're doing is trying to push this down to contractors to get the contractors to understand the design is correct. You got to make sure when you're putting it in, it's correct, whether it's asphalt or concrete, whatever it happens to be from that standpoint. So
we've worked on the annex. We've got a plan for the courthouse. Is there any other areas that we'll be working on here soon or that we need to tackle in the upcoming future here?
You know, there's a lot of things because that's one of the things that we are required to do. And we'll start with the city, and they've already started this whole process. And that is, we need to do an evaluation of all the city sidewalks and all the curb ramps, because you have to have curb ramps on every corner. So they're in the process of going through the entire city. Now, you guys have a program within the city of Frankfort that it's a 50-50. It's,
yes.
You know, 50%
for
of
sidewalks.
The city. Yes, for sidewalks. You know, so when you start thinking about sidewalks and you plant trees close to a sidewalk and you've got roots that up heave the concrete, you know. So those are all the issues that you start taking a look at. You can only have gaps of a quarter inch. You can only have a rise of a quarter inch. You know, there's lots of sidewalks. We live in Indiana, remember, and, we, you know, the weather's going to change, remember.
It's so funny. You know, we're talking about this for ADA. However, before they did the sidewalks not long ago, I was running across the street coming up to a sidewalk and stubbed my toe and just face planted. I mean, bloody hands, bloody knees, ripped a hole in my jeans, whole thing. I totally face planted. So no one was more happy, you know, that they were doing this than I was. And you have to have it. And again, Tim Clark is our guest on Party Line today, and we're talking about some of the ADA compliance that we're having to do with our city and county buildings here. And so what other areas do we need to work on still?
Everybody needs lots of areas to work on.
Oh, gee.
Honestly, truly.
I believe that. I mean, it would be hard to get around a city, let alone, I mean, like you're saying, we're a pretty small city, but someplace that's, like you're saying, Indianapolis or San Francisco or Atlanta or Chicago, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, you know, it is a lot, you know, but again, I'm going to go back to this was signed into law in 1990. Municipalities were given 2 years to get everything up to, yes, and we're 36 years out, and we're still trying to get where we need to be.
Yeah.
You're starting to see more and more people understand it because there are groups out there, and that was one of the other things that the county has put together is what they're calling a Clinton County Coalition, and it's groups of volunteers that want to help and get information out. They're individuals, including myself. It's not government officials because we don't want Big Brother all telling us what to do. We're all volunteers to say, if you have an issue someplace, there's a grievance procedure. Fill out the paperwork. Let us go investigate it and let us help that owner figure out what it is they can do to make things better.
So where do they go to make that grievance, or how do they do that? Is that an online, or do they come up to the city or county?
Both city and county have it on their website.
Oh, okay.
That there's, you know, if you go to their ADA page, you'll see a grievance procedure. You go in there and fill out the application. It will go to the city. Then from there, if they don't resolve it, then it comes to this coalition group or the county.
Sure, sure. I think didn't we have a lot of our sidewalks and everything? We're pretty good on the square with our sidewalks, are we not now?
And this is part of what we had talked about when you came in, was the county is responsible for some things. The city is responsible for some. And then we had the state who was responsible. The state, NDOT came through
and
did 28.
Correct.
And went down 28 and 39 because those are state highways, so that was their responsibility. And that's why we saw them going down 28 and fixing and doing ADA there and all the way through town as they go through. But that's got to be a nightmare. I mean, you're trying to help and advise these people. They're trying to come up with funding to be able to do this stuff. And then we got to determine who's in charge of what.
That is correct. So the biggest issue that we had on Courthouse Square was 39-421-75, because that's a state highway. Well, then it became a discussion of who's responsible for this, for the sidewalks and for the parking spaces. So, you know, it's typical what we see with a lot of things that go on. We have a lot of finger pointing that that's not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility, and we just need to make sure that it happens correctly. So we can get people around, because that's the biggest thing is we want everybody to be inclusive, you know, and you know, I'm just going to say, I have my daughter here with me today who is in a wheelchair. Both my kids are in wheelchair. They were in wheelchairs long after I became an ADA coordinator in 2011. But it's kind of because that fell into what my business practices are. But with the situation we deal with, most people like myself that have to deal with this on a daily basis, we figure it out. It's not easy, but we try to figure it out the best way we can. But we want to be able to visit any and every business that's out there, whether it's a municipality or a private business. Municipalities are Title II, private businesses are Title III. That if you own a Title III in town, you want our business, and you want to be able to be accessible. And I'm just going to give you an example. For any of you that have ever visited Ellis Jewelers on the Courthouse Square, mm-hmm. their door originally was not accessible, but they now have a plate out there that gets you inside the building, which makes it very easy for anybody and everybody. And it doesn't mean you have to be in a wheelchair. You could be on a crutches. You could have a cane. You could have, you see those people,
a walker,
the people that have one leg up on those little scooter type things, people that have autism, people that have, you know, Down syndrome. It makes it easier for everybody. And I'm just be honest with you. You know, you're saying you fell on the sidewalk.
It made it easier for me.
Everybody.
Yes. Really for everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
So, well, and again, Tim Clark is our guest on Party Line today. Melissa brings up a good point with all these locations, but, you know, money is tight. So how does someone come up with that kind of funding? How does a town fit? I mean, we just have to start working that into our budget a little bit at a time each year over year?
Yeah, that's one of the things that they want you to take a look at. But one of the other things that they say is if you're going to do a project, up to 20% of that project has to make sure you are required to make sure that it's all the ADA compliant. So if you're doing a project, it's got to be built in. You know, so now you're working with many different groups because, you know, you go out and the municipalities are looking at CCMG funds, they're looking at grants wherever they can come up with, you know, the grant money. There's matching grants, you know, so they're always
trying to... I was going to ask if grants were available for that.
They are available, you know, but they're always, you know, they're matching grants. Most of them are matching grants that are out there. But when you can get a matching grant, it makes it easier for them to go through that process to get those things done. One of the big things is making sure that the contractors that are doing the work, even if the drawing is correct, that they're actually putting it in correctly.
Are the contractors glad to see you come? Because I would think taking that headache off of me and letting somebody that has specializes in this, thank you, just tell me where to do everything but help us do it. I mean, so I would think that they're happy to see you roll in.
They're happy to see me roll in when we roll in prior to that part of the project gets done.
Yeah.
They don't like it when we come in after the fact and say, this is not correct.
I can see that. Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a twofold, and that's where we come in as the owner's rep side of things, is to say, let us help you before you get, mm-hmm. before they start pouring the sidewalks or pouring your parking lot. And an example in Clinton County is Mulberry Health. We've gone through and worked with them on new parking spots to make sure that everything is compliant. The contractor that we're working with, they've been in touch with me numerous times to come out before we pour concrete. Can you come out and do an inspection to tell us this is going to be correct? And when they do that, it makes it so much easier because the contracts now read that if it's not correct, you go back on the contractor because it's their responsibility to make it correct. You know, so I'm going to kind of go back to the not really the 30-second commercial, but the beginning of this, and that is when you're looking at projects like this and anything that's out there, make sure that the contractors that you hire know and understand the ADA rules and regulations. Because when you start looking at the transition of when ADA was first signed into law, it was all governed by the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice finally realized after years that they can't police all this. And they're getting numerous, you know, thousands of lawsuits on a regular basis of people complaining that things that were not correct, especially on the municipality side of things. It kind of started to transition from municipalities to private businesses. Title III, DOJ pushed everything down to the Department of Transportation. Department of Transportation finally got to the point of, we can't police all this, so they're now pushing it down out to the municipalities to help them police this. And part of that policing program is for a municipality to hire a contractor to do the work. The contractor has to prove that they're ADA, that they've gone through the processes and they have a transition plan, they have a Title VI policy, that they're going to do the right thing. Municipalities are now also putting, instead of the municipality signing the contractor's contract, the contractor signing the municipality contract that has verbiage in there that puts the responsibility out on the contractor that says, you will follow ADA, otherwise we're going to come back on you. And it's at your expense to fix it. You know, so that's where we are in this whole entire process. So now contractors are now starting to scramble to say, how do we get an ADA transition plan? How do we get a Title VI policy? How do we get training to make sure that our guys in the field are doing the right thing? In the meantime, on the backside of this, you know, you've got Purdue University with their building construction program. Those classes are now being taught at that level. So the students that are coming out know and understand that this is
where
we're
smart.
Going. Yes.
Yeah, starting at the beginning.
Right. And that was going to be one of my questions was, is there, I mean, thank goodness the kids are, that are coming out are learning this now before they graduate. But what about the contractors that are already out there? Is there any kind of instructional, way for them to go through classes or whatever to learn all this, get certified?
Absolutely, yes. Just like anybody else, the two of you could go out and get your certification. There are classes put together by, like, my program is through the University of Missouri, and that's kind of the governing program for all ADA coordinators is University of Missouri. And then we've got different branches throughout the country. You've got the Great Plains, you've got the Great Lakes, which we are part of the Great Lakes territory. They will help you through those processes. You know, you give them a call and say, how can we get information? How can we do this? And I'm just going to tell you, one of the first things you're going to find is they say, follow the plan. Architects are putting this into play to make sure that when they're drawing the drawings up, that they're correct, and you just have to follow those. And it's the biggest thing is them knowing what those regulations are. And it's not easy because every situation is different.
So are you contacted more by architects, by the municipalities, or by the contractors themselves? Because it seems like it's got to be a little bit of everybody along the way. I mean, everybody has to be on the same page to make this work.
Right. From the architectural standpoint, the architects, and I'm going to go back to just like at Purdue, and Ball State has a great architectural program. They're teaching those kids that at that level now, which is going to help. Because understand that when a licensed architect does a drawing, they are going to follow International Building Code, or IBC, which is also Indiana Building Code. So if they have to err on one side or the other, they're always going to err on the side of IBC because because that is the law. You know, this is civil rights. When you talked about ADA, it's a civil rights issue. So they're going to always err on that side. It's that's at the point when you get together to say, and that's where companies like myself, and we're all over the United States, companies just like us, that will help them through that process of, we understand why the drawing is the way it is and it's following International Building Code, but to make it compliant, these are the couple of the changes that you need to make. And then and you do that prior to the construction phase. The contractors know who you are, so if they have a question during construction, they can call you and say, can you come take a look at this?
We talked about the parking spaces as one of the things that people are questioning at this point, but what are some of the other questions you're hearing about our community in particular since you've been working here, other than just the parking places?
Egress to the building, which means from the parking space to the actual front door of a building. We hear a lot of this, and that is they don't have automatic door openers. Automatic door openers are not required by ADA unless it's a federal building. That is the code. So we hear that a lot. And then I'm going to be, the biggest thing that we hear on a regular basis is restrooms.
Which restrooms, I get it, makes sense.
Compliant.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. And then again, the cost to do all of these upgrades, it takes time and it takes money and all
Correct.
These wonderful things that just don't grow on trees, right. Really.
But I can't tell you, because I run a coalition in Tippecanoe County as well, When we see a complaint and we take that complaint from a citizen to the owner of a building, the owner of the buildings have always been very receptive to say, we didn't know.
Yeah, they just didn't know.
Yeah.
So, what do we need to do? So you sit down and you describe to them what they need to do. So I'm going to say, when we get a grievance, we're only looking at what's on the grievance. We don't go through your whole entire building to say, here's all the other issues that are not compliant in your building. We're only looking at what somebody brought to our attention. But when we get in front of the business owner and we say, you know, there's a grievance. The grievance is put into play to try and avoid lawsuits because we'd much rather see you put the money into redoing your building than paying a lawsuit. So that's the plan behind the coalitions, are getting the information out there to those people. So you go out, you resolve that issue. But the owners of these buildings are saying, we didn't know. This is great. We feel that this is what we hear. We feel that that's going to open the door for us to get more people into our building because maybe they're not coming because they knew that we weren't compliant.
Yeah.
Or they knew that we were not accessible.
Well, when I think of downtown areas, I mean, I'm just thinking, I mean, I go to Delphi a lot. You're in Tippecanoe County a lot. We're Clinton County. I think of Tipton and Boone County and all of these other communities. all of those buildings around the square, very few have new buildings. And our annex building is new, so we're lucky we have one. But when you think about the courthouses, who's building a new courthouse these days? Who could afford to like they did back then? So the time and getting it to look like it should in an older building, I mean, I'm sure it's not an easy undertaking.
It's not. So understand when we're going to talk about courthouses, historical buildings. In historical buildings, the only thing that has to remain historical is the exterior of the building. You can do whatever you want to the inside of the building. You just can't change the outside without going through your due processes. Okay. But even when you look at that, you know, and you say, you know, we look at Clinton County. You know, we have a contract here. We have a contract with Tipton County. We have a contract with Miami County. But, you know, we're looking at doing some things for Hendricks County. Well, if you ever go to the courthouse in Hendricks County, it's not on a flat surface. You know, but one of the things that has made it easier for ADA is courthouses are only giving public access to one entrance building. Mm-hmm. So they've gone through their process to say, okay, this is going to be the best door that's going to meet that proximity of whatever the situation may be is to get somebody inside the building. So you go to the annex building here, you know, because that's been an issue lately. And, you know, especially during voting that, you know, people are coming back saying, you know, parking spots out front, you know, the parking spots on the north side of the building are not, you know, there's a ramp at the back of the door, but you can't get in the back door. Well, you know, the annex building was designed for the public to enter the front
door.
You know, when you start talking about expenses, for them to put security at the back door and the front door, especially when you pull into the parking lot on the north side of the building, it says that employee parking only.
It does,
yes. You know, so it's, you know, so I understand people are saying, but, you know, it's a handy, that's where there's 4 handicapped parking spots on the southwest corner of the annex building. You know, we want to be able to park there to be able to get into the building. You can, and we gave access to go from those parking spots to the city sidewalk to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that's where, you know, we see those complaints and people say, you know, how do we do this? One of the other things that I saw in this, and I wished I could get this message out to everybody, and that is, how many times do I see somebody that doesn't have a disability parking in a spot because they have the placard? Understand the placard follows the individual, not the vehicle.
Yep.
But I see it all the time where, you know, and I'm not allowed to go up and ask them,
yeah,
you know,
that's correct,
what your disability is. I can say, do you have a disability? What do you think they're going to say? Yes, I have a disability. And they keep walking, you know, so it's, and they very well could, but, you know, my idea of if you can get out of your vehicle and walk, leave those parking spots for the individuals that actually truly need those parking spots.
Yeah.
I'm different because I'm going to park in Egypt, which is what my kids always say, and we walk. You know, yeah. I push them in the wheelchairs, both of them, you know, one in each hand to get to the door, but we park as far away as possible because I don't want people dinging my doors. So.
Yeah. I understand. I'm sure it's been an undertaking, but getting around to the communities, you have a very interesting job.
It's very interesting job, and it's a very rewarding job to know and understand that what we're doing is helping not just people with disabilities, but everybody out there, because it does make everything easier for everybody.
So one thing, you just said one thing you'd like everybody to know. What are a couple of other things that if you just had a microphone and you would just love to, which you kind of do in front of you now, but you're standing on the courthouse square with a megaphone, what else would you want people to know?
Go Colts.
I like that. That's fair. Well, I'm a Bulldog. So. Okay.
Go Bulldogs.
There you go.
Yeah. Go Gophers. Go.
Get them all in there. There we go. Boiler up. Yeah.
It's funny, but you just brought up, you know, talking about schools, and schools have to be ADA accessible. Have you actually worked with schools to make sure that, especially some of the older schools, and let's face it, all our schools are, you know, 1960s or older.
Well,
so
the major part of the building is now. Yeah, they've added on to it so much.
Yeah,
so I assume the new parts have to be ADA compliant.
Well, they all do.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you're doing renovation, then you have to go back and make sure that everything is compliant. But does that happen all the time? No, it does not. The question is, have I worked with schools? And recently I have. One of the big things that we have here in Indiana in the wintertime is snow. And one of the things that we see, the maintenance guys who are going, I just got to plow snow. What do? They plow snow up under the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Now the sidewalk's not accessible for somebody with an ADA issue. You know, so and I won't say which school it was, but it was a school within proximity of Tipping New or Clinton County. That the maintenance guy, when I was talking to the principal and I said something to him about it, it was like within 24 hours, I received a phone call from the gentleman that was in charge of the maintenance of all their buildings. And he said, I didn't even think about.
Honest mistake.
Yeah. He's like, we just plow snow to get it so people can park, not even thinking about, these are handicapped parking spots. We're plowing the snow to where these people need to cross or to get mm-hmm. to the sidewalk to be able to get to the other side of the street to get into the school or in the other side of the parking lot. And he was so apologetic to me. He's like, I didn't do this to get you in trouble. I did this for you to understand that this is what goes right on. So that's the biggest thing. And I'll go back to what I said at the beginning, and that is you don't know what you don't know. And when you're plowing snow, you know, and I look at Dave Faust, who worked for Frankfort Schools for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He was the same way. He's like, you know, when we plow snow, we wanted the parking lot to be set up in a way that it makes it very easy for us to plow snow. So when you're designing, as you're an architect or you're an engineer and you're trying to design something, you're trying to design something to meet all aspects of everything, and you're never going to cover everything out there.
That's quite a weight.
Yes.
I mean, you're right. Nobody's perfect all the time. And so it's just a matter of trying to help people get to the best possible scenario.
Correct. And then somebody's always going to say, well, that doesn't work for me. And I tell private businesses, I tell municipalities this all the time, write down, because you have what they call a living document. So the living document for any facility is a document that says, we've gone through our building and we've gone through our parking spaces, we've gone through our streets, we've gone through our sidewalks, we've gone through everything, we've gone through our parks, our services, programs, and activities. You know, we have fishing. That living document is everything that is not compliant. So when you do make a decision, and the living document is, that document should be changed, updated on a yearly basis. Excuse me. So when you make a decision on why you did something, write it out on that living document. So when somebody comes back in 5 years or 15 years and said, why did you do it like that? You can go back and read why it was done done.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing about ADA, and I want everybody to know and understand. When you look at ADA, it's not like you've got a level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, whatever, unless you're playing wheelchair basketball. Well, if you're playing wheelchair basketball, which I officiate wheelchair basketball, is you have to have a certain – every individual is given a number according to the disability. One would be myself that doesn't have a disability or a physical disability, to 5 for somebody that might be a paraplegic. So when you add the 5 players that go out on the floor, they have to add up to at least 12. If they don't add up to 12, because you don't want to put 5 number ones on the floor, because guess what?
Right.
You know, I understand we're all competitive, but that's the only place that I know that there's an actual, you're given a category. Anything else is you have a disability or don't. You know, so when you look at that, you know, somebody that's in a wheelchair, you could say, my daughter, for instance, is in a wheelchair, but I can push her. She can't push herself. She can't use her arms to move the chair, but she has as far as some mobility. Or you look at a Christopher Reeves, who was a quadriplegic, who had to blow in a tube to go right, left, forward, backwards. They're both considered ADA. They have a disability. There's not one is better than the other. Or a person that walks with a cane versus somebody that's in a mobility chair that, again, like a Christopher Reeves, they're either disabled or they're not. 18% of our population today has a disability. When we say that, I say that number, the people that deal with the disability and have the disability, doubles, because in my situation, you know, you've got the person that is disabled, but you've got the person that is taking care of them on a daily basis. And I can say it's a 24-hour-a-day job. It's not an easy job. It's not a job that I would wish on anybody. But we wouldn't change it, because we love our loved ones, and we're going to do what we have to do for them. That's where people we have to understand is those people just have just as much of a difficult time getting around as the person that has a disability.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is tough. Anything else you can add for us? I know we're running close on time, but anything else that you can add? Or
we're fine on time.
Oh, okay.
I heard from our other guests, so we're good.
I guess they're not coming.
Yes.
Honestly, he had another meeting come up that he has to attend, so he is fine. So.
All right, again, our guest is Tim Clark, and we're talking about ADA compliance, and how much of this is set by national standards? Is any of that here locally that we say, hey, we want to change that, or is all of this set on a national standard?
The standards are set nationally, but that's a great question. And I say that's a great question because that's part of what the communities have to do is find out what are the disabilities of the people within your proximity. You know, so we're just going to take Clinton County as a whole and let's not just focus on the city of Frankfort. We're all in Clinton County. I live in Clinton County. So we're just going to look at Clinton County. And part of the goal of what the DOJ and Department of Transportation wants you to do is go out to the community and find out what those disabilities are of the people in your community, and you work towards that to make a common goal of how to make it accessible for the people that actually live here. Mm-hmm. When you look at Clinton County and say, okay, it's not an easy task, but it can be done. So then you turn around and you look at something like Tippecanoe County that has Purdue University with 40 plus thousand students. So you're going to do what you have to do. You work with the university to try to make it as accessible to everybody as possible. But then what do we have? What do we have this past weekend at Purdue? Graduation,
yes.
So now we have all this influx of people that are coming to town, and some of those people are going to have disabilities. They may not agree with what you've done, but you can't go back and try to figure out who those people are to try to make it right for them. You're trying to make it right for the people that actually live here on a daily basis. What you will find is the majority of the time what you're doing for the people here are going to help, and it helps everybody. But you're always going to have that one individual out there that's going to scream that this is not right, and you're impeding on my civil rights because this is not the way I need it to be. We just sit down with those people and we work through the process. Let's not be angry, because some people are angry because they have a disability. Let's not be angry at this disability. Let's find out what the end result is and how do we get you from point A to point B.
Do you have time to stick around with us for a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right. As I say, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk more about ADA with Tim Clark.